Where do you go if you don't have the Lord? Sometimes we go through things and we question, where is God? Sometimes people face heartaches and troubles. And we got to be careful that we don't let them separate us from the one that can help us the most.
Right. Amen,
I get my hope from the Lord. I believe in Him. I trust in Him. And I want to follow Him. That does not mean that I won't have difficulties in life, that I won't have problems, and that I won't have trials. But it does give life purpose. Without Him, what's the purpose? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I want to read that verse of Scripture. This is a verse that's very popular with our young people. And it says this, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, I believe that God has a plan for us as His children. He has a plan for us and for our lives, and He wants us to, what really I believe God wants is He wants a relationship with you, with us. Sometimes, you know, when you really begin to look at it and think about what does the Lord want, people think God wants this or God wants that. God really just wants you. And He's God, He's real, He's alive. And one day we'll all be with Him. And the Scripture says in the book of Revelation over there, He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Now, we're living in a time today, and I've got a little bit of a different message today, and obviously I'm praying, trying to seek the Lord and make sure I'm following the Lord. But, you know, there was a posting recently, and I believe it was in Arkansas, but there was a courthouse that had the Ten Commandments posted out in front of it. And we're living in times today where people want to take the nativity scenes down. They want to stop you from saying Merry Christmas. They want to take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls, and they've tried to do that in several different places. Dispute several years ago over in Alabama. They wanted to take them down. Well, you know, basically, we're living in a tolerant society, and what I mean by that is this, that they'll tolerate just about anything except Christianity. Well, in this place in, I believe it was Arkansas, they had the Ten Commandments, and they said, well, if you're going to have your posting or your what you believe, we're going to have what we believe. And the man brought a statue that was supposed to be a statue of the devil. And it was on a flatbed trailer, and he just pulled it up in front of the courthouse, and he left it. And basically, there are Satan worshipers out there. There are people who openly worship Satan. There are people who worship the devil. There's something called the Church of Set. There's also called Wiccan, which when I was in college at a later age in life, I was actually in a classroom where we had public speaking, and a girl got up and gave a presentation on Wiccan. Teenage girl. People believe that stuff, and they put that statue up, and it was the statue of the devil. And typically, here's what you see with a statue of the devil. You're going to see hooves like a beast. It's generally a goat. The head was the head of a goat with horns, with the body of a man. And he's sitting in his crown on his throne, and there are little children at his feet looking up at him. And, of course, I even thought about showing it, but I don't even want to show that picture in the house of God, okay? But I want you to understand what's out there. And I want to give you something in the Luke chapter number 4. We're going to go to the Bible. Now, here's something I want you to understand. My opinion means nothing. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. That's why we're going to give you scripture after scripture after scripture. And when I preach, I try to do that anyway. Amen. Sometimes I hear preachers get up and they'll read one verse or a half of a verse and they'll talk for 30 minutes, but you don't get no Bible. Folks, I'm going to give you some Bible.
Amen.
And I want you to understand this morning, how in the world can somebody say that they believe in the devil and they worship him and not believe in God? Now, I want to tell you where Satan came from. He was created by God.
Yes.
He was in heaven. His name was Lucifer, which means light bearer, and he rebelled. And you can find scripture in several different passages in the Old Testament and in the New. But here's what he said. He said he wanted to be like the Most High. And that name that's there in Hebrew is El Elyon. It is the Most High. And he was lifted up with pride, and he turned against God, and he was cast out of heaven. And what I understand, the scripture says, he drew, as it were, with his tail a third part of the stars. Now, what that means is that's angels that are fallen angels that became demons that follow Satan. Now, you got people out there today that worship Satan. They push their statues up. They have their churches. But I want to tell you something. He was created by God. He's got a destiny to return to the pit of fire. And he's going to be cast in there forever. And I understand that. You know, God has a plan. The devil has a deal. And what I want to preach on for just a few minutes this morning is the devil's deal. And I want to go to Luke chapter number 4, and I want to show you from the temptation of Christ what the devil's deal is. Because it's still the same deal today. It's still there today. He's still doing the same things today in people's lives that he tried to do even with the Lord Christ. And I want to give you some scripture as we go through this, and I want us to look at it, and I'm going to read 15 verses. I'm going to try to move through this as quickly as I can. But it's talking about the temptation of Christ. You know, if you understand the scripture, it was just in the third chapter. If you go back to where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and in the 22nd verse says, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. That's God speaking of his Son, Jesus Christ. From there, we see the next step in Jesus' life. It says in the first verse of the fourth chapter, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, big S, Spirit of God, into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, and lest at any time thou cast thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, big S, into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now I want us to look at this scripture, and I want us to break it down, and I want to move through it. I want you to see what's in the Word of God. Here we see Jesus is taken because the devil had a deal for him. If you look at verse number 1 and verse number 2, it says that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. In other words, God allowed him, led him out there that he could be tempted. And he was tempted for 40 days of the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And when they were ended, afterwards he hungered. Now here's what I want us to understand about this temptation of Christ. It was real and it was vigorous. For 40 days he was in the wilderness, and for those 40 days when he was being oppressed, now we don't really get a full picture of everything that happened for those 40 days, because we had to come through those 40 days to get to the point that we're out here at, to where these three things come to him. But for those 40 days it was constant. The devil was throwing darts at him, just like he's constantly throwing darts at you and I. And after the end of 40 days, he was hungered. Now, I want to tell you something. He was in a fleshly body. He gave up the throne and portals of heaven from the standpoint of coming down to the earth and taking upon him the form of a fleshly body. Now, he was still God, but he took it upon him to be flesh so that he could stand in the presence of God and make intercession for you and I and understand everything that you and I are going through. He was hungry. Now, you know, sometimes you're riding with these teenagers, they want to eat every 2 hours. The older I get, I'm just not like that. I don't really get hungry much anymore. But I believe after 40 days, you'd feel it. You'd feel it in your body. You'd feel it in your senses. You'd feel it all over you, to the extent that your body, honestly, what happens is your body begins to devour itself. First it eats up the fat, and then the muscle tissue actually begins to be torn away in the body. For 40 days, he was hungered. So look at temptation number 1 in verse 3. Look at the way it starts out. And the devil said. The devil said. You see, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And here I want to understand that yes, he did have a fleshly body. Yes, he did hunger, but his answer actually came from the Word of God. He was, he is the living Word. Yes. I like what it says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The scripture there that Jesus quotes comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. Now, we're going to get a little farther into this morning, but here's the first temptation I want you to see. It is the lust of the flesh. You see, sometimes when we think about the flesh, we think about some type of immoral sin. But I want to tell you something. If you're starving to death, you're not going to be thinking about immoral sin. But here's why it was wrong. It was wrong because the devil said, if you're God, show the whole world. He had a deal for him. Look at number 2. Go to the 5th verse. It says, and the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And look at the 6th verse. And the devil said. See, the devil took him to show him all that the world has to offer. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. See, he took him and he showed him these things, and he says, all this power will I give you. Look at the latter part of the 6th verse. This is what the devil says. He says, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. You know, sometimes when you talk about this in this way, people say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if the devil has that power. And if you've ever really studied very much about some of the things that have happened, and, you know, there's some conflicts and whether or not you can really make a deal with the devil. There are people who will tell you that they have. Some people have done it subtly, and they don't even realize the deal that they've made. But here's Satan, he's telling Christ, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. Remember, he was flesh, 30 years old, a carpenter's son, poor, Jesus. What did he say in one place? The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Do you ask if the devil really has this power? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and I want to give you a verse. Have you ever sat down to try to witness to somebody about the Lord, and as you're trying to talk to them, it seems like you just can't get through? It's like there's a veil there, and you can't get past that veil. They don't want anything to do with what you're talking about. They don't want to follow God. They don't want to serve God. Here's why. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, now that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, he is the God of this world. Our God is the God of eternity. He's the God of heaven. He created the world. The Bible says over in the book of Isaiah, the heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool, and where is the house that you build unto him? But people in the world today, they look at the world and they desire the world so much, they've accepted the devil's deal and they've rejected God. He said, let's make a deal. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the devil is the god, little g, of this world. This is all he has. This is his domain. He's cast out of heaven. And what he wants to do is corrupt and make a deal with everybody he can to keep you from honoring God with your life. You see, in the seventh verse, the devil said, if you'll worship me, all the world, all the glory will be yours. And I cannot tell you, when I see somebody who gets so tied up in the things of this world that it crushes them when they cannot have it, it grieves my heart. Have you ever watched American Idol or some of these stories like that, and you see these kids, and you know, they tell their story and they sing, and then when they don't do it, it's almost like, I have no reason to live. Here's what I believe, and this is what I want, and this is what I ask for this church. It's what I want for my children. It's what I want for every youth in this church, every adult in this church. I don't want God to give you anything that's going to separate you from the ability that you have to do the will of God. If becoming the great star causes you to fall down and not worship, you don't need it. The scripture says in one place, the proverb, it says, feed me neither with poverty nor with riches, but feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be poor and steal, or lest I be full or rich and forget my God. See, what the devil wants to do is make a deal. And sometimes people make the deal. But look at the reply from Jesus in the eighth verse. Again, the answer came from the Word of God, from the Bible. Remember, Jesus is the living Word. Jesus was the living Word. He knew the Word. The scripture, the answer comes from Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 13. You see, the first temptation was for the lust of the flesh. The second was for the lust of the eyes. What do you see that Satan knows you like looking at that he can offer you to cause you to be separated from God? Now remember, the temptation of Christ is unlike anything you and I have ever suffered. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want the world, I don't want this, I don't want that, I'm sold out for Jesus. You and I never went through what Jesus Christ went through. My temptations, my burdens, and we all have them. We are all going through something. I'm not going through what you're going through, and you're not going through what I'm going through. My vice is not your vice, and your trouble is not my trouble. And what I'm tempted by may be completely different than you. But could I say that I could be shown everything in the world and just answer with Scripture? See, it was the lust of the eyes. Anything you could imagine. But look at number 3. In Luke chapter 4 in verse 9. It's speaking of Satan, and he brought him, speaking of Jesus, to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. So basically what he did is he set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and in my mind's eye I can see Jesus sitting on the outside of the peak of the temple, standing there, just holding on. The wind's blowing and he's looking down and he can see all the people. He can see the city and he's up there and he's just holding on. And you know what the devil said? If you're Jesus Christ, if you're God, jump. Jump. You know what some people want to do? They want to prove how great they are. They want to prove how good they are. They want to prove what they can do. You see, this temptation is dealing with the pride of life. And I'm going to give you a scripture in just a minute to pull all these three together. But that's something that some people have trouble with. You know, some people have more trouble with their pride than they do anything else. That's why even when they get in trouble, they can't ever get right with God because they're not willing to deal with their pride. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we go in the wrong direction. But if you don't bow in obedience to God, you'll never do business with God. Now, I want you to see something. We've already said, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter number 8, we know that Jesus is the living Word, and we know that He knows the Scripture. But did you know that the devil also knows the Scripture? You see, the devil knows the Scripture. The quote from the 10th and the 11th verse wasn't quoted by Jesus. It was quoted by Satan himself. Here's what Satan said to Jesus. He said, "For it is written," and this is from Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, "He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." You know what he said? He said, "Jump, because the angels will catch you before you ever hit the ground." Satan knew the Scripture. Now, when we look at this, do we understand that Satan knows the Scripture? You know, I study the Bible, and I try to pray, and I try to pay attention. Do you know in James chapter number 2, verse number 19, and I wish the guy who actually rode that statue over in front of the courthouse needs to read this verse. James chapter 2, verse 19 says this, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You see, that statue is just a statue. It's made by man. But you know what the devil knows? He knows that he has but a short time. Remember when Jesus was coming through the land of the Gadarenes and he got over there and the Gadarene came out and the demon came and it screamed out to Jesus Christ and he said, "Why comest thou here to persecute us before the time?" You know what the time was? They knew they had an appointed day that they were going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And what the devil wants to do is make a deal with somebody so that they won't fulfill the plan that God has for their life. See, Jesus again gave the devil something that he couldn't handle. And here's what I want you and I to understand. We're going to have battles in our life. We're going to have things that come against us. Sometimes people battle demons. And so I don't know if I believe that. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. But if there's anybody ever here in this building ever put meth in your body, you know there's demons. Has anybody in here ever had a cocaine habit to where you take a wad of money and you just take hit after hit after hit until your body is totally expired? You know there are demons. If there's anybody in here ever had an issue to where they get so mad that it's almost what you'd call a whiteout, they wake up but they've been awake the whole time and they realize what they've done while they were angry, you know there are demons. And you need God's help. You know what you can beat the devil with? The only thing you can beat the devil with is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can rebuke the enemy by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have victory over him. Jesus again went back to the Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 16. And he gave him the Word of God. Now let's look at the 13th verse. I wish that I could tell you I went through my last battle with the devil and I'm done with him. I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not dealing with him anymore. I've told him to go away. What does it say? And the devil had ended all the temptation. He departed from him for a season. What does that mean? That means he came back. Now here's the way it is in our life. Doesn't the scripture say that there is no temptation taking you except that which is common to man? And with every temptation, there's also been made a way of escape. Now what way is that? That's Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you something, young people. I remember when I was in high school, I thought when I get out of high school, it's going to be great. You know why it's going to be great? Because I'm not going to have no more peer pressure. You know, because when I was in high school, I was constantly being pushed to do things. I can remember going to a birthday party one time, Brother Tommy, and I got down there, and this was family. I'm not going to tell who it is, okay? But it was family. I got down there, and I was about 12 years old, and boys come up to me. They were 13, 14, 15, and they held out their hand. They had some joints about that long. I'd never seen them before, but I knew what they were. Rolled in this pink paper. I knew it wasn't going to be cigarettes. They said, come on down here behind the barn. We're going to smoke these. You know what the devil says, Brother Billy? He said, if you don't go with them, you're going to be an outcast. You're going to be rejected. The world's not going to like you. The world's not going to accept you. I want to tell you, he's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He knows he's going back to hell, and he wants to take somebody with him. Well, I tell you, I got out of high school, and I went to work in construction. And here I go from being a preacher's son, and I show up on a job site out in Alpharetta, and it's a 6-story building, and we're putting some windows in this building. Brother Tom, if you wanted it, you could buy it on that job site. Anything in the world that you wanted of sin, and here I am walking around toting two boxes, learning how to do work, and I'm seeing grown men supposed to be providing for their families acting that way. You know what? It was that voice of the devil, the question, which one are you going to follow? Are you going to do what God wants you to do, or are you going to stand up and reject him and follow God? Boy, well, I couldn't wait till I got away from that. And I got in the corporate world. And here I am, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to work hard. I want to take care of my family. I want to be a good daddy. I want to be a good husband. I want every opportunity and advancement I could have. It come to the point that I had to make the decision spiritually. Am I going to follow God? Or am I going to do things that push me up the ladder? Because I could see and I could hear some of that, but I had to just say and decide that I'm going to follow the Lord. And even come to the point in my life that there were times when I had to realize that if God wanted me to have something, he's going to give it to me, and all the devils in hell could not keep me from getting it. But God knows what's best for me more than I know what's good for me, and I had to just decide that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what the world does, no matter what the people around me do. I'm not accepting the devil's deal. I am going to follow the Lord. So he's not going to leave you alone. Now I'm pastoring a church. I love the Lord. I love my wife. But we're all going through something. Sometimes you try to serve the Lord and do the best you can, and you know what you do? You're going to say, God, where are you at? God, why is this going on in my life? God, why can't this be better? And sometimes what you have to do is you just got to learn to trust him. You got to learn to follow him. And you tie a knot. You say, well, I'm at the end of my rope. Well, tie a knot and hang on. He's coming to help you when you need him. Question. Who will take the devil's deal? The truth is, if we were to roll this statue up out here, we're not going to put it on the churchyard. We'll put it across the street in a vacant lot. You know, people drive by the church every day and they look, and you know what they say sometimes? They're in there doing it again. I wonder if the statue was in the field over there, they'd just pull in, and they don't have to stay long. They'd just say, I just accept this. You see, the truth is, very few people are willing to fall down and worship a statue of the devil, but many people have taken the devil's deal. So you don't have to bow down to a statue. Worship a goat head. Worship the devil. All you have to do is take the world and forget God. That's all you have to do. You see, what we need to do, we're thinking we're always fighting for our rights. And by the way, if you understand the scripture and the church history and the church age, the Bible talks about the church of Laodicea. And I believe that's the church age that we're living in. And here's what Laodicea means. It means civil rights. Where everybody's fighting for their rights, for fighting for what they want. They're fighting for what should be theirs, for what they should have. But the scripture says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16, 24, 25 says, then Jesus, said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life for my sake will find it. I want to flip over to Mark chapter number 8, verse number 35. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke 17:33 says, whosoever will seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now here's what I want you to understand. And this is what the whole picture of following Christ is about. We follow him on the good days, but we're going to follow him on the bad days. You see, the God of the mountain is also God of the valley. He's my God. He's not changed. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to follow him. Maybe the cross he has given me to bear is the one I need to bear, because if he blessed me too much, I wouldn't be here. Can I tell you, there's some people that are so blessed they've forgotten God. They're so blessed that they've forgotten the importance of being in the house of the Lord. They're so blessed that they've forgotten the importance of bringing their children to the house of God and having them faithful here. Can I tell you something? One day they're going to grow up. And if you've taught them that God is not important, where are they going to be when you're crying out for God to help them? I know this is not popular preaching, but folks, we need God in America. We need to return to God in America. You see, here's the truth. You find your life by losing your life. You actually find your life by surrendering to Jesus Christ. Now think about it this way. Let's just go back to the American Idol thing. And folks, there's nothing wrong with being a good singer. Remember Mandisa? Mandisa was on American Idol. They mocked her. They made fun of her. They made fun of her size, but they also made fun of her what she wanted to sing. I know a young lady. That young lady, I'm not going to mention her name, but she's actually been in this church singing. Went to American Idol, went all the way to Hollywood, and they said, we want you to dress this way, we want you to sing these songs. She said, I don't want to do that. That's against what I believe that I should do, and she quit. She's been in this church singing in a gospel group. Mandisa, they made fun of her. She's singing today for the Lord. I want to tell you something. You listen. I'd rather be poor and serve God than be rich and serve the devil for just a little while, and in the end, you know where Satan's going? He's going back to the pit. Don't take the devil's deal. You see, the world will put a pull on you. I like to fish. Anybody else in here like to fish? You got a tackle box? I see Brother Allen over here. I know he don't have a tackle box. He has garbage cans full of stuff. 55-gallon drums. Right, Miss Tracy? Amen. So you can shop all you want. We're in agreement. Okay. Well, when you go fishing, what do? You get out that tackle box. And I've been, you know what? I went down there, wasn't that long ago, Brother Tom, I got this lure and I threw it. Nothing happened. I got another lure and I threw it. And it went a little deeper and nothing happened. I finally found one. Can I tell you that's the way the devil works? That's why he goes away for just a little season, and he's going to come back. And when he comes back, you know what he's got? He's got a different lure. He's been in his tackle box. He's looking for something that he can entice you with to cause you to bite, to take you away from what God wants you to be. Don't follow. Bible says in one place in the New Testament, we are not ignorant of his devices. And all of that brought us to this scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 and verse number 17. John wrote this, and it ties right back into what we read in the book of Luke. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I want to say this. I've decided to follow Jesus. And sometimes it's still rough. You know, sometimes I feel like to do the things that I need to do at work, at home, at church, I just feel like I need superpowers. It's like I need God, I need to be the bionic man. And I realize that we have superpowers available to us. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, this thorn in the flesh, it was given to me. I besought the Lord thrice that it would be taken from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you because when we are at the end of ourselves and we fought till we can't fight no more and we're to the point that we don't know what we can do, we can cry out to God and he's going to send some superpower to help us do things that we can't do ourselves. Because I want to keep pressing on. I want to keep serving God. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because every word I read to you and preached to you this morning, I believe it.
Yes. Amen.
And if I believe it, I'm going to keep pressing on. Now here's a question. We're going to have them come with a song, and we're going to honor God with a song. What's the devil offering you? What is he pulling you with? What is the pull that he's putting on you? And the question, are you going to take the devil's deal? Or are you going to reject him and follow God? You see, the Bible says if the devils fear and tremble because they know that there's one God, what makes us better than the devils? That's a message in itself. What makes us better than them? You see, they believe in fear and tremble, but they don't worship. They don't pray. They don't glorify God. They don't worship Jesus. See, here is the real deal. We can serve the devil now, and a lot of the world has chose to do this. All it means is simply love the world and forget God, and in eternity, we'll spend it with the devil. Separated from God, or we can serve the Lord now, which means to lose my life and find life in him. And then I can spend eternity in heaven with my Savior. People say, well, I just believe when you're dead, you're dead. Won't be long, you're going to find out. You see, we have prayer requests, and we're really praying for my Aunt Bonnie. She's 63 years old, very close to my mother, close to us. We don't want God to take her. But if he does, if he chooses to, we'll soon be with him.
Amen.
See, I have a dad that's in heaven. Brother Tom, I know you got family in heaven. Brother Billy, you got family in heaven. Brother Tommy, you got family in heaven. Brother Perry, family in heaven. Brother Andy's got family in heaven. I want to tell you, this life is short. And I tell you what, the Bible says that I just feel like preaching. I'm going to have to quit in a minute. says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. I want to tell you something, it's not going to be long till we're there together, and we want the toils of life will be over. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eye, and we're going to be able to rejoice and worship around the throne, and these burdens will be passed. But I will be in the presence of God because I did not take the devil's deal. Would you please stand to your feet?